the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what we're talking about, and truth is our bitch on this show. So we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot, because they don't believe in truth, because they don't believe in the fair and the just and the honest and the equal and the weird. But we do. Let me ask you a question. Are the goods that we're sending our troops in care packages good enough? Are the things that we send to our young men and women in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the world, are we sending these great young men and women the kinds of things that give them comfort and the kinds of things that remind them of home, a cool drink, some snacks, foods, other things that they may need, batteries for some sort of an audiovisual device they're using for their music or their movies? Are we sending them what they need? We're going to be talking with a young man, R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, a young man who is hoping to advance and have a career in the U.S. Army. We're going to talk to him about those things from home and those things that that we do send to our kids. Charlie LaFountain, who is a writer and a father, is going to join us in our second hour to be talking about how to dissuade child predators and what is your child's responsibility, believe it or not. We're going to talk with Charlie LaFountain about that. One of the things that he's writing about, which is controversial, is the need against all of the conversation we've heard, is the need for the kids to keep on the weight, to have extra weight. So Charlie LaFountain joining us next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445 is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight this evening at WTAR Norfolk, Virginia, and KERN in Bakersfield, California, right up the road from us. We're going to get on the line here with R.C. Collins at Bradley Military Academy. This is in Altadena, California, as we kick off tonight. But one thing, put it on hold, will you? Put it on hold. Bud, put it on hold.
What?
The phone. Put it on hold. I can hear the... I wanted to mention our website, philhenryshow.com. If you head over there, be sure to get a backstage pass, which gives you access to literally years and years and years and years, 15 years worth of archive material, as well as our daily podcast, as well as our classic Phil podcasts, our video on demand, our daily video cast, which is up and running right now here from the El Pacifico. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. RC, how are you, sir?
Yes, Mr. Hendry.
How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you for letting us talk about this.
What grade are you in? What level of cadet are you?
I'm a junior cadet.
You're a junior at Bradley Military Academy?
Yes, sir.
And RC, you wrote a blog for your cadet class. I guess there are a number of I know you have an academy newspaper there. And you also have blogs for your senior level and junior level, and you wrote one having to do with supplies from home, correct?
Yes, sir. The blog was called Message from Home, and it was about the kinds of things that troops get sent.
Yeah, maybe if you tell those guys to turn the TV down.
Yeah, turn the TV down. The article was about the kinds of things that are, or the blog was about the kinds of things that get sent to the troops in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other places where they're deployed around, the world. And the substance of the blog had to do with the fact that a lot of it is pretty substandard. It's not because the people at home don't care. I think that there needs to be more thought put into what we're sending our troops. These are people that are defending this country, and I, for one, am very, very devoted and committed to my career here at the academy, and then eventually I want to go on to West Point. And
you want to become an officer?
Yes, sir, very much so. And then I hope to defend my country. I hope to be deployed to a theater where there is active engagement of an enemy. And I can tell you that I'm willing to go to the limits. I mean, I'm like everybody here at Bradley. We're ready to go to the limits for the country that we live in. And I'm pretty psycho about how I view defending my country.
And all right, so you guys are very, very committed, and we would expect nothing less. Although we are very appreciative of that. And so I take it that means that whatever you are supplied from home, and we're not talking about now standard Army issue stuff, right?
Well, I mean, the standard issue that you get in the services, whether it's the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air or what have you, is not going to be the same as what you can get from home. It's pretty, I mean, you know, regular MRI is pretty, like, there's pudding and there's some meat, but it's a lot of it's dehydrated. It's not the highest quality kind of food, but you don't expect it to be high quality. It's coming from the Army. It's intended to make sure that you have enough fuel, but it's not supposed to be something that, you know, is comfort food. What we want from back home has more to do with, you know, rounding out the experience of being deployed overseas and having stuff from back home that is, you know, making it worth putting your life on the line.
Talking to R.C. Collins, who is not yet in the Army. He is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And we're discussing, I guess, the quality of the home front support. Now, we're not talking about anything here, R.C., having to do with... you are, as a young man, you're not yet in the military, but you see the way the average soldier is being supplied by the military itself as adequate, correct?
Well, yeah, and the one thing I want to correct, I'm not in the military in a technical way that you said. You're right about that, Mr. Henry, but it's not the best thing for our morale, I guess, to say, well, you're not in the military, you're not in the military. I mean, I am in the military in the sense that the minute I came to Bradley Military Academy, the minute I put on the cadet cap, the minute that we were on the parade grounds for the Commandant Parade, and then the different, you know, things that we did, I mean, and learning and training and everything that goes into being a military academy, I am in the military, because otherwise, and I'm ready, you know, I'm pretty psycho, and so are a lot of my friends that are here in the class. So to say that we're not in the military is kind of bad. It's kind of bad for the morale a little bit.
All right, well, I mean, what I'm saying is you're not an official member of the United States Army.
No, sir, not yet, no. But I know that, you know that. I mean, we don't have to keep, I guess, beating it into the ground, you know.
All right, well, I'm not going to beat it into the ground. I wanted to make that distinction. What are the things that the soldiers, that the sailors, that the airmen, that the Marines, what are the things that our fighting men and women around the world, what do you feel they are not getting?
Well, I think personally, and I've talked to a lot of the cadets here, I mean, there's a lot that they're not getting that they need to have that they are not getting. For instance, if you some of the stuff that they get borders a little bit on as if they're little kids, and I don't mean to say that I don't want to insult anybody at home, because I know the parents really try to do their best, but it's a little bit of an insult to send, like, Pop-Tarts and stuff like that, you know.
And why is that an insult? Isn't that kind of a nice treat to have?
Well, I mean, we're fighting men, and, you know, we want to kill, you know, for the country and kill the enemy. And you go, oh, yeah, here's a treat. It sort of minimizes...
So you feel that kind of diminishes the mission?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it diminishes the mission. It makes it seem so... You know, like, here's your Pop-Tart, go out and kill the enemy. I mean, that's really that very respectful. The other thing, and I think you saw this in the movie Hurt Locker, which was a very good movie, but I don't think it did a lot for the morale to show that sometimes you're going out, you know, on a mission or you're going out on patrol and you've got a juice box in a cooler, which is totally, totally, totally something that just a... Maybe a school kid would have, you know.
And, well, are they drinking out of juice boxes over there or not?
Well, yeah, they are. But I mean, I didn't think it was good for the director of the movie to show it. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I don't think we want to have a juice box, you know, like that. It would be great if we had root beer or we had Coca-Cola. There's nothing wrong with that. But we would prefer to be in a container that, I guess, sort of you can look at and go, well, I got a bottle in my hand, I got a can in my hand, and I'm sitting here with a juice box like I'm a little kid, you know, that I'm not allowed to be able, I can't do my job. Yep.
Well, you're taking personally the idea that there's juice boxes and Pop-Tarts being sent to the troops, right? And
well, yeah, I think a lot of soldiers take it personally. I mean, we have...
Well, who have you talked to? Have you talked to soldiers that are upset that they're getting juice boxes and Pop-Tarts instead of what? And you say a bottle or a can?
Well, yeah, a bottle or a can or instead of a Pop-Tart, it would be better if you just... It doesn't have to be anything very elaborate. They have the sausages that you can get in the in the freezer section of a market. If you get the frozen sausage, sandwiches that they have, those are very good. They have the sausage patties that are very good. I would much rather have the sausage patties or the frozen sausage sandwich than a Pop-Tart, which I think is just, like I said, kind of little kid-like.
All right.
Like the Jimmy Dean, they have those. And donating juice boxes is sort of cheap, too. That's the other thing I was going to say, and Pop-Tarts, too. We want to feel as if people are spending money on us because we could die. And if you're giving your life for your country and people are, like, being cheap... I was just talking to Cadet... McMillan said that if you're being cheap, then it means you hold our lives cheap, too.
If you're being cheap, who are you talking to specifically now, RC? Are you talking?
Well, I mean, I'm talking to the parents. I'm talking to just everybody that gives stuff to the troops. Please don't hold our lives so cheaply in your hands that the only thing we raid are juice boxes and Pop-Tarts.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy talking about these snacks and supplies and things that are sent to the troops by civilians. I wanted to ask you, R.C., and I don't think that it's, I don't think I'm talking out of school now. When you say that you don't want people to be cheap, when you say you don't want the people out there to be cheap, the mothers and fathers, aren't you being a little demanding, you know?
Well, I don't think so, sir. I mean, we're talking about giving our lives for the country. I'm going to die someday killing Al-Qaeda, and if there's a God in heaven, I'll die killing Al-Qaeda. That's how I want to go. And all I'm asking for is that instead of sending me treats, that I get a sausage sandwich or sausages. And I mean, I'm too young now. If I go to Iraq or Afghanistan, I'll probably want to have a cigarette, and they don't even want to send cigarettes because the brass, the army, the top of the army don't want us to have them.
You guys don't get cigarettes.
No, we don't. And
well, you guys in the military academy are too young, but you're talking about the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, I don't imagine they get cigarettes either, the way that they're treated by the Army brass and by civilians, too.
Well, there's a big thing about smoking. I mean, we could get into that, but I right now what we're talking about is what you consider to be the substandard stuff being sent by civilians. It's cheap. And R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy basically saying, spend some money on us. We're going to sacrifice our lives for the country. We're getting Pop-Tarts and juice boxes, and we would appreciate... Instead, cans and bottles of root beer and sausage McMuffins and these kinds of things is there a disconnect here between us at home on the home front and what our young fighting men and women need? Because God knows whatever it is they need, we're ready to give it to them. Whatever it is they want, we stand here ready to give it to them. RC is talking about, quote, spending some money. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show back in just a moment here with R.C. Collins. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, this TV on. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with R.C. Collins. Again, you guys need to have that TV turned down there. And we're talking with Mr. Collins and other members of Bradley Military Academy about the, I guess you could say, the care packages and the supplies and things that we send to our fighting men and women from home. And a lot of it, yeah, is comfort food. The Pop-Tarts and the juice boxes and the Starbursts, you know, and things like that. RC is claiming that this is rather inexpensive stuff and bruises morale when the soldiers get this stuff because they look at it and they think, how much are they spending on this back home when I'm here fighting for my country? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to take some of your phone calls as well. I wanted to ask you, RC, examples of other things that you consider to be substandard or cheap that come from the States.
Well, a lot of the guys I know that is coming back, and I tell you, a lot of them say they'll get things like Skittles, or they get like what you just mentioned, Mr. Henry, which is the Starbursts, or they get peanuts. It when you're expecting to get sausages or to be able to get, a big keg of root beer or something. I mean, we're just asking, you know, if Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist, which was a book about a little boy that was starving and living in London, and even he got, you know, you figure Twist got sausages and from the protagonist in the book. We just read it in our English lit class. So Twist, I think, is an example of how tough you can be. And that's what I was grateful for when I read about Twist.
And what did we say, Twist?
Oliver Twist.
Oh, I'm sorry, Oliver Twist, yeah. All right, but that was a young man who was starving to death.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, he didn't have anything, and yet when he did find people that would take care of him, he got sausages and things like that. But what we get are Skittles, and you just... I don't want to go and come out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick for a bag of Skittles, you know.
All right. 877-876-7445. I hear what you're saying. I'm also mindful of the fact that you're not yet in the military. Here is Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins.
Yeah, I just want to know how this guy feels like he can answer for men and women who've seen combat, himself not seeing combat. I know several people that have been over in the war,
uh-huh,
and are grateful to get anything and look forward to getting their mail and stuff from home.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right, and I know guys over there too. See, I'm not talking about necessarily combat. I'm talking now about just what you get from the States, and you're over there, and any day you could take incoming, you know, like an incoming mortar, and guess what you got that day in the mail? You got like macadamia nuts or Starburst, and you're going to die for that?
No, you're dying for your country because that's what they signed up to do.
Well,
They're also getting paid. It's not like it's not like we're paying them Starburst to go put their life on the line. That's added extras from home.
But it doesn't seem like it's enough that they could send, good Cadbury chocolates and stuff like that, you know, spend a little bit of money instead of going down to a liquor store and getting a big hunk.
I know plenty of people who are in the armed services and would be happy to get nothing from home. They're happy just to serve their country and don't feel like they have to have extra sent from home.
What about that, RC? Do you talk to guys that are don't care?
I've never talked to anybody that doesn't care. Guys are always looking for an extra deal and everything. They're finding stereo equipment from Italy and, you know, or they're finding stuff from Egypt. I mean, they're always shipping stuff back here. I mean, if you think about the guys, they ship stuff stateside that's pretty good. Like the older brother of a friend of mine, he's shipped back a whole bunch of iPods and stuff that he got. Well, I mean, it was black market. But,
all right, I mean, that's fine, but I mean, what do you hear guys complaining that they're not getting anything from the States?
Yeah, you hear a lot of people go, you know, you know, what's this mushroom? I mean, the mushroom stew that they got one time, and they got some Progresso soup, and they hated it.
Progresso soup. All right. Jim, thank you. Our number, 877-876-7445, are the things that we send our men and women overseas, is it quality stuff, or are we shortchanging them? RC says, he's a cadet, though. He says we ought to spend more money. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and he's basically talking with us about the food and the treats and the snacks and the things like that that are sent to our troops overseas. Whether they be Skittles or whether they be Starbursts or whether they be juice boxes or these kinds of things, socks, shirts, board games. RC, your basic point is they're not good enough. The stuff is cheap, and they want stuff that's better.
That's essentially it, sir.
All right. Now, what about the fact that you haven't been over there? That was the comment that was made to you. By the first caller. You haven't been there. You don't know.
Well, Mr. Henry, I've talked to soldiers that have been there. I've talked to guys that have gone over there, and they've all said to a man the same thing, that, you know, we don't want to tell civilians because there's an attitude in the military. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hard for us to be honest with civilians because we don't know whether they're going to be able to take it or not, and there's a lot of ugly stuff that we've seen. But when we go to Iraq or Afghanistan, and they're going to send me a Slim Jim and like a hand sanitizer, and I want to go and I'm going to kill, well, not Bin Laden anymore, but Al Qaeda, and they're sending hand sanitizers and gum, you know.
Well, yeah, but the guy we just talked to said you're doing it for the pay, and you're doing it for the patriotism.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, that sounds good in a movie, you know. That sounds real good in the movie, and it sounds real good on Fox and Friends. But I'm psycho. I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country, and I do want to eat my own guts for my country. But not to come back to base camp and see that somebody sent me a board game or mouthwash.
Well, what do you guys want? You want more porn?
I didn't say that, sir.
Well, I mean, to me, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I didn't say that, but...
Are you asking for adult things like that, porn, or are you asking for...
Well, we're asking for to be treated like men, yeah. And the fact is, we don't really have that much to relax to. If you're seeing adult films, I mean, I would appreciate that, yeah. And I would appreciate a beer instead of somebody sending me a, you know, baby wipes or something.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins here. Here is Shane. Go ahead, Shane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the stateside stuff. Go ahead.
Hey,
Shane.
Hey, this is Shane from Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's just funny to me that you have someone on the line here, R.C. Collins, that's a cadet who's never experienced anything, never been deployed. I'm a 10-year Navy veteran, honorable discharge. I was on submarines, and I've been deployed many, many months overseas. And the creature comforts of home are what matter. And I never...
Well, yeah, but I mean, you guys, are you telling me you're happy with a baby wipe?
Let the guy finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about being happy or not being happy. You just appreciate the fact that your relatives, your friends, your family members are thinking of you, and you have that little taste of back home to remember what you're fighting for. It's not the dollar amount or the physical gift itself. It's the fact that I'm fighting over here defending my country, for my family members and my friends to live in a free country back home, and they're thinking about me while I'm out here. That's what you care about. At no point in my 10 years of service did I think, while I was deployed overseas, man, I wish someone would send me, a pornographic magazine, or I wish.
Well, yeah, but you're in the submarine service. You guys had it pretty good. I mean, you get to eat steak and eggs and everything.
Oh, you think? Hey, how many submarines have you served aboard?
Well, Mr. Henry, didn't you say your brother was on a sub?
My brother was on a sub a long time ago, but still in all, your comment, RC, is you guys have got it easy. Submarine life is, you guys are working 24 hours a day, right, Shane? I mean, you guys don't stop moving on a sub.
Absolutely, Mr. Henry. It's 18-hour days, 6 hours on watch. It's daunting.
Right. And you're underwater, and you're underwater a lot, too, right? Are you not, you're not above the surface for long stretches.
No,
yeah,
you're not
kidding me?
Or anything.
That's not all that hard if you think about what other guys is doing in Afghanistan.
R.C. Collins, I'm not going to compare apples and oranges. Every service, every branch has its difficulties. My service was no easier than a Marine's and vice versa. I've done missions with Army Rangers. I've done missions with Marine Recons. That have ridden aboard my boat to do spec ops, and they've said to me, I don't know how you can do this. And the reason I was able to do it is because when I pulled into Liberty Ports or I pulled into a port, getting the letters from back home, the cards,
mm-hmm.
the pictures, the thank you, we appreciate what you're doing. And for me, the biggest thing for me, I didn't care what anyone sent me. It's when you came home on leave.
Yeah.
And I got to see my parents, and I'd see other veterans, and they shake my hand.
If you're on a submarine, though, you get a granola bar. Right, but if you get a granola bar on a submarine, that's probably like, well, whatever, because we already get granola bars and everything like that. But in Afghanistan, if you get a granola bar, it's an insult, because you're thinking, yeah, sure, thanks.
I don't see it as
what?
I'm just glad that someone's thinking about me, and the food on the submarine... take it from my experience, it's not steak and eggs every day. It's dehydrated milk, it's dehydrated eggs, no produce, everything's frozen, so it's not that great.
Don't you get offended when you get popcorn and stuff like that? I would be.
Offended? Why would you be offended?
Why would I be offended?
Think about cheap
popcorn. I don't get it.
Civilians are cheap.
Your problem is you're fixating on the physical gift
stuff.
Itself, what it is,
right.
And not the thought behind it, and not that you have relatives and family members that appreciate what you're doing for your country. You want another?
I know.
You want that attaboy pat on the back, but
I want to get stuff in the mail.
Prefer...
If I just got out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick, I want to have something like better than a board game and shampoo.
Oh, like the man said.
What?
That's what you need to feel satisfaction for your job. You're like a ball of contradictions, because on one token you say, I eat my guts for my country. I do this, I do that. And then
I'm psycho.
A minute later you say, but I want something from home that's worth it. I want something that's, I'm not happy
right.
with it.
Yeah, you don't want hand sanitizers. You don't want all these things that are going to be sent by people, hand sanitizers and baby wipes. I mean, who knows, man? Maybe the Army or whatever says that the guys need that stuff. Shane, thanks so much for your call, and good talking to a guy on the submarine. What was the name
Absolutely.
Of your boat? What was the name of your boat?
I was on the USS Helena stationed out of San Diego, California. Hoorah, say who? Hoorah, Helena.
My brother was on the Barb. Is the Barb still in service? Probably not,
yeah.
huh?
No, that's not. It's been decommissioned. That is a decommissioned submarine. But I appreciate your have a connection to a fellow submariner. That's good to know.
Oh yeah, he went to New London, Connecticut, and then Pascagoula, which is where their boat was when he got out of the sub school. Was New London where you went?
That's where I live. I live in New London, Connecticut. I'm a Navy brat. My father was 20 years retired Navy. I was an instructor at the submarine school for my last 4 years in the service. So I've got
out of sight, man.
And I've been deployed, and I know what it's like. I'm speaking from experience, not from a cadet's point of view who has
right.
experience.
I appreciate
much,
it. Thanks very much, sir. All right, there's Shane. RC, you know.
Well, I mean, you basically let him just, you know, have his way with me.
And what do you mean? He was talking about a guy who's out there getting stuff from home, stuff that they want, stuff that they need. And you're talking about what? You're talking about being in the academy.
Well, yeah, but I was given my point of view, and that guy's having his way with me, talking about how, yeah, this, and that. And I'm standing there just going, well, I mean, I don't know anything about no submarine, and nobody else knows anything about submarines. It's a pretty secret thing. Those guys probably think that, I don't know, they probably get bitching stuff in the mail, and they don't care.
Yeah, that's right. If you're on a sub, you get all the really cool stuff that you're talking about, like sausage McMuffins. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Anybody else in the service want to set this guy straight? You're more than welcome. R.C. Collins with us here from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the stuff that's sent from home. The little things like the handy wipes and the baby wipes and the mouthwash and the socks that go to the soldiers and go to the sailors and everybody else. And as R.C. has been talking, as far as he knows and the people that he talks to, all that stuff is cheap. And they want you to start spending a little bit of money on them. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry here with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. You know, R.C., you're talking very honestly and very earnestly here about wanting really good stuff from home. If you go to Afghanistan, if you go to Iraq, you want to make sure that you have really cool stuff. Meanwhile, you're being very childish.
Well, in no way, sir.
Well, when I said, would you hold on, which is a typical term, yeah, you're going, hold on to what? And we're on the air. You want to be treated like a man, why don't you act like a man?
Sir, I with all due respect, Mr. Hendry, I've acted like a man. I'm on a radio station. The way that I act like a man and the other people that I'm with is we're going to go to Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're going to kill the enemies of America. And then we go back to base camp, and you get back to base camp after you've been out on a mission, let me tell you what. And you come back to hot chocolate packets and gum? You know, you come back from a strike vehicle. You ever been on a strike vehicle, Mr. Hendry?
No, have you?
Well, that's not the point. Yes, I have, because I'm going to be. I mean, I'm in the military academy.
No, you've never been on a strike vehicle, and you've never been to Afghanistan. So, no, you don't know what it's like.
Well, I've got a way better idea, sir, than you do. And I'm just telling you, you come back from a mission, back to base camp, and there's sunflower seeds and Slim Jims, and you feel cheated, and you feel that nobody at home cares whether you live or die.
Oh, come on! And you're not even talking for a soldier. You come back from a mission, and you come back to base camp, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what it's called. You don't know what it's called. I do. And I come back from mission base camp, and all I see, and there's no sausage or sausage McMuffins or anything.
No, you know what? I've just heard from a number of people. We just heard from that young man, and I know you don't think it counts because he was on a submarine and they got all the really good stuff, saying that they appreciate the thought behind these things. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, please.
Hey, young man, I'm telling you, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm 65
uh-huh.
years old. And
yes, sir.
When we got packages from home, we wanted foot powder. We wanted handy wipes. We wanted those things to keep our... We use handy wipes to keep our weapons clean half the time. We use foot powder to keep our foot clean so we can go out in the field. And by the way, young man, you do not go into combat with the idea you're going to give your life. The object of going into combat is to go in, complete your mission, and come back out alive with all your men.
Of course, that's
sergeant.
What I want to...
You'll never be a second lieutenant, young man, because you're just not that squared away. Thank you.
Well, sir, I want to go and kill the enemy and come back to something more than a handy wipe, wouldn't you?
Until you have fired a shot in anger, don't tell me about killing an enemy. The first time you kill someone, young man, you're going to throw up all over yourself because it is not a pretty sight.
Are you kidding me? That would be the bitchinest thing ever.
He's talking real life here,
Arce. I have lived.
Well, on that movie Platoon.
That's a movie, RC. Listen to this, gentleman.
I have lived combat. 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, 5th Marine Brigade. You tell me what I did wrong. I came home. I took 39 troops over there in a platoon as a platoon sergeant. We came home, 39 men. We took them over. We brought them back. I'm proud of that. We didn't die.
That's very good. That's very good. Outstanding.
Yeah, but were you guys, like, you know, in a heavy firefight and stuff like that?
Are you listening to what the man's saying?
I was in the Battle of Quezon. Look it up. Son of a gun.
What's that?
I'm telling you, it's
that was
not pretty.
Quezon, that was after the Tet Offensive. That was during the Tet Offensive. It's a very big battle. It's on Wikipedia. It's in all the encyclopedias. It's a part of history. It's a part of world history, the Battle for Quezon. The Marines were there, and they won back that city during the Tet Offensive. And, R.C., you're being very disrespectful asking this man, taking a platoon over there and coming back with all of his soldiers, did you get into any fights?
Well, no, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I just wondered if you can go over there with 39 guys and come back with all 39. Maybe they were just, you know, sitting around or something. I don't know.
Sitting around? It was
the
Vietnam War.
Firefight? You're crazy, boy.
Well, I mean, I thought maybe
you will never be a second lieutenant because you're just not smart enough to be an officer.
Well, I'm not trying to be in the Marines. I'm trying to be Army.
What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe you don't have to be as smart.
I know a lot of people in the Army. They wouldn't tolerate you. The only thing you'll ever be in your career, if you go into service, will be mess officer somewhere.
I don't think so, sir.
You don't have
with
the
all
attitude.
Due respect, with all due respect, I'm going to go in. I'm going to get an insurgent on the end of my bayonet. You'll see.
Oh, you're going to wind up getting killed, probably, RC, with an attitude like that. You know, going in with a. You know, you've been watching way too many movies.
Speaking of movies, I want to ask this man.
If he's sick, he won't know what to do.
Well, what is going to make me sick about that? I just killed me what do you call the guys over there?
You have never heard any Marine, any soldier, ever tell you about killing the enemy. If they brag about killing the enemy, they didn't do it, young man.
What? Are you kidding
me? We did our job.
I seen a guy on TV the other day talking about it in Okinawa. And all the guys that they killed.
That was the World War II documentary. They asked them about it. Of course they're going to talk about it. What happened on Okinawa that they're going to talk about it?
No, it wasn't Okinawa. It was Iwo Jima.
Whatever, man. Same difference. They asked those Marines, well, what did you do? Where did you go?
Yeah?
My father was killed on Corregidor in World War II.
Where's that?
The Philippines, the beginning of World War II.
If you're in a military academy, you should know the military history.
Corregidor's where?
The Philippines, you idiot! That was the beginning of the war. That was right after Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Well,
you've never heard
about
Death March? You've never heard the term Bushido?
Is
that food?
Yeah,
sure, it's food. Bushido is sure death.
I thought it was
Bushido
a dish.
Where if you fall behind, the Japanese soldiers had no respect for anyone who was a prisoner.
What you got to do, RC, is spend less time calling up talk shows and more time getting into your books and your history and other things and quit talking about stuff you don't know anything about and just shut up. That's what you need to do.
Well, if I don't say it, who's going to?
Nobody, and that's a really good thing. No one will talk about the dumbass stuff you're talking about, like getting Slim Jims and sunflower seeds and how you're not happy with that. Tom, outstanding to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much, Tom, and thanks for your service.
Many a time I would have given I'd given everything I had for a Slim Jim and a handful of sunflower seeds.
Are you kidding?
That's somebody
cheap.
Cared.
You could have gotten macadamia nuts.
You want to take a
in
beer
any event,
in combat? You're crazy.
A what? No, you want to take a juice box? Where, if you take a juice box in there, the Viet Cong will laugh themselves sick.
You know why I'll take a juice box? Because it's got
vitamins.
Because it's got the essential minerals in it that you need to keep going. It's got electrolytes.
Yeah. But if the VC see you with it, they'll laugh themselves sick.
Take your water, boy.
Exactly, exactly. All right, Tom, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it. And thanks for a very interesting caller. And if you would have kept your mouth shut, you might have learned something from that man. He's been around.
He goes into combat with a juice box. The Viet Cong would have gone, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, and while they're laughing, guess what?
They get dead?
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't think about that one.
There's a lot of crap you haven't thought about on this show tonight. You call up with all kinds of silly-ass notions about things.
What are you getting all mad about? You're all like, there's a lot of crap you didn't think about tonight. God, just take it easy, Mr. Henry.
Well, waste my time, man. My producer says, oh, we got this kid from the military academy. He's going to talk to us about, you know, packages from home. The next thing I know, you're yakking about Slim Jims coming out of a cave with an insurgent on your bayonet and the Viet Cong laughing themselves sick when they see a Marine with a juice box.
Well, that guy said I was going to throw up when I kill me, my first insurgent. I don't think so. They just roll off my knife.
What? Throw up?
I got a fever booster.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Because he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich
pretty
man.
Much like the thing, I'm not the only one that does it.
I figured if I'm going to be a journalist.
It contains valerian root extract.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they shan't. They can't. They won't. Truth is our bitch here every night. 818. What is our number, man? I got two different numbers. It's blowing my mind.
Yeah, but people take a drinking game.
Remind me to talk about the drinking game now, the new Phil Hendry drinking game. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think it's a new drink. It's one guy on Twitter. Carrie Campbell gives her 8-year-old Botox to compete in a beauty pageant, and now she loses custody of the kid. And joining us to talk about that this hour is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. The woman gave her daughter Botox, that is, injecting Botox into this child's face. And we're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley about this momentarily here on the show. 877-876-7445. If you don't have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website, then you're just letting the best part of the day pass you by, brother, because what we have is not only the largest archive of any radio show anywhere, it happens to be an archive of our show, probably one of the single greatest radio shows in the history of man on this planet. So in other words, you get like 13, 14 years of archive material. You get the daily podcast of our show. You get our classic podcasts, which are free, by the way. You get our news feed, our news blog. You get our comments section. You get all kinds of archived video. We have our 5-day video archive. We have daily streaming video casts of the show, Phil TV, in high definition on your computer screen. And you can stream us mobile, too, either with your iPhone or your Droid. I mean, there just isn't any reason not to get a backstage pass to PhilHendryShow.com. You know, you never know when you're going to lose the good things in life, so you better hurry up and get a hold of it now. It's PhilHendryShow.com. Botox mom loses custody of 8-year-old daughter. That is the story here. A San Francisco mother has lost custody of her 8-year-old daughter after she injected the girl with Botox in preparation for beauty pageants that this child was going to be in. She was trying to treat wrinkles on an 8-year-old child. A person with knowledge of the situation, as they say in the news business, which generally means some former friend, told ABC News that the girl, Brittany, is doing well, but did not offer more detail on the ongoing investigation into the girl's mother, Carrie Campbell. In an interview on ABC News with Laura Logan, Carrie Campbell defends giving Botox to her 8-year-old because everyone else is doing it in the beauty pageant world.
It's pretty much like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it. A lot of moms do it. And I think a lot of the kids making the big impression on the lines on her face and stuff like made her, probably influenced her to want to do it a little bit more.
You're saying Brittany asked you for Botox?
we talked about it. She didn't exactly ask me about it, but I know that she was complaining about her face, having wrinkles and things like that.
Carrie Campbell says she personally injects her daughter with a Botox she acquires from a trusted source.
Like I said, I do the Botox myself. It's safe. I have no problem with doing it.
But you're 34. I mean, it's just, I'm just wondering.
I've been doing it for a long time.
You administer it because you're an esthetician.
Part-time.
Where do you get the Botox?
I'd rather not, like, put that out there.
God,
I do have a trusted source where I get it. He is behind the doctor scene and everything.
Uh-huh. This woman's not very bright. Because the things she's saying there are highly suspect, and she doesn't even know it. Well, I'm not going to tell you, because 8-year-old Brittany talks about the procedure. Here's the little girl talking about it.
I do it, but it hurts sometimes, but
oh,
I
God.
Used to.
A little bit of. And what do you do it for?
I don't know.
Well, do you do it because you see wrinkles? Or?
Oh, yeah. I see, like, wrinkles, and it just... Like, I just, like, don't, like, think wrinkles are nice for a little girl. It hurts.
Oh, God.
And I get used to it, and...
Do you cry?
A little.
Bobby Dooleywood is from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. What do you think of this?
Well, so, you know, get the guys to turn the TV down a bit. What I think of it, Phil, and your reaction, I think we need to talk about this a little bit, because I don't think that people listening to your broadcast right now are going to understand what this really is about and the challenges that women and these children go through. We are crying out for all of these victims that we have been saddled. And when I say we, Phil... I don't have a daughter, but I've got a niece, and my sister is very much involved in trying to correct a lot of these mistakes.
Well, what do you mean by correct these mistakes?
Well, the question here really is not, should we be using Botox or not? The question is, when you're a mother and you look at your daughter, what are you dealing with? What do you have to work on? Where do you begin in shaping this child into a young lady? There are some of us, and I underline some of us. I don't know why I didn't have daughters. I am, you know, fortunate in that I've got three spectacular-looking sons. I mean, any one of my sons could be a model. My sister, my niece, got a lot more of my mother's looks, I think, than either my sister or I did. And as a result, my niece is a young lady that we are challenged by. And that's when you begin to think of these solutions to what is a genetic challenge. I married a very handsome man. My sister did as well. But, of course...
Wait, now hold on. What do you mean by a genetic challenge? Do you have sympathy? I want to get this out clear and straight. Do you have sympathy for this woman that we just heard?
I do have sympathy for her, but not in the way that you're thinking. I think you have to understand something, Phil. I think we've heard one side of this. We need to hear the other side. I have sympathy for all of the victims of the genetic challenges that have visited themselves upon people for many, many years. The little girl, her mother, this is all part of a tragedy that goes back, my God, thousands, millions of years.
And what tragedy is that? The fact that we're not good-looking?
The fact, Phil, that the fact that we are genetically challenged from generation to generation, and yes, we have to do something about it. Otherwise, we live with the frustration of a destroyed relationship with a father who might have been there a little bit more for us.
Well, I don't know what you're getting into some stuff here now that is a little esoteric.
No, I'm talking to you about the Botox. That's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I told her about it.
Yes, I want to talk about the Botox. What are you talking about? A relationship with a father?
I am talking about a mother. This woman, Carrie Campbell. Is that the woman? Did he want me to?
No.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, you can talk to me.
I'm trying to find out for my husband. Isn't that why you? Is that why you called?
Yes, ma'am. We want to talk to you about the Botox story. the woman who has, she has now lost custody. What do you think of that?
I think it is a tragedy.
You don't think she should have lost custody?
No, I do not. I'm taken aback. I thought you and your staff there understood what we are challenged by, what we're up against. And
when you say we, are you talking about mothers like Carrie Campbell?
I identify with all mothers that are trying to tackle, courageously tackle, and do something about these genetic challenges, yes. And my understanding was I was coming on a radio program that supported that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Ms. Dooley, I have to, completely honest with you. No, I don't support the injection of Botox into an 8-year-old child's body, no matter what the reason, unless it is a curative, unless it's medically required, unless it is a pediatric doctor that has assessed a problem. But for cosmetic reasons?
Then he doesn't understand.
No, I thought he doesn't understand.
All right, let me start at the beginning with you then, Phil.
All right, well, you could start at the beginning, but I think I do understand.
No, you don't understand why we do this. We have been victimized by the genetic challenge of having a daughter that looks nothing like either ourselves or our husbands. In that case, when you put a child like that into a pageant, and you are really looking at a challenge now, because you've got a, you have a child that is not what we would call attractive. You have a very plain-looking child. You begin to think of options, and the first option, of course, if you've got a child that has that, what we call that crone, you know, that sort of premature, what did you call that?
Sluggo's crone disease.
Steve calls it Sluggo's crone.
What is that?
That is a child with an aging face. And so that's when you need the Botox.
Yes, but why would you, I'm not connecting with you. Why would you put Botox into a child's face? Sluggo's crone, that just threw me for a loop. Why would you put Botox into a child's face, even if the child has wrinkles?
Because of the genetic challenge that child's face represents. If the child is not dealt with in terms...
Because the child is not good looking.
Because the child is not pageant worthy, and if the child is not pageant worthy, then you're not winning any pageants, Phil. And the problems and the mistakes and really the pain of the past that you're trying to deal with never gets dealt with.
And what pain of the past is that?
The pain of the past...
Mr. Ritter, if you don't understand, I mean, by what...
I thought he explained all of this.
No, nobody explained anything to me, Ms. Dooley. I'm not here. I don't know why you do what you do.
When you're a young lady and you are rejected by your father, as I was by my father, as my sister was by our father, then you look to make it up to him. How do you do that? You do it with your own daughter. And you do it by getting her to win a beauty pageant, the beauty pageant that I never won. Do you understand? Do you understand? Because that's, if you don't
understand... I understand the psychological dynamic you're talking about.
No, but do you understand, therefore, the necessity for a Botox injection into a child's face that isn't good, the face isn't making it? It could be Sluggo Crohn. It could be just plain view. But the face ain't getting it. And so you have to do something.
You don't have to do anything. You cannot put that child in a beauty pageant. But you're saying by not putting the child in a beauty pageant and...
Mr. Henry, I am watching your video cast. I don't like you pointing your finger.
I apologize. Although I'm not. I'm just pointing it in the air.
It looks as if you're pointing it at me.
I apologize. But what you're saying is you need to put this child into a beauty pageant because the child needs to win a beauty pageant because you never won a beauty pageant. And because you never won a beauty pageant, your father rejected you.
That is the psychological dynamic, yes. And so in order to heal that, we must
address the face and the beauty form of the child. And if your daughter has a face that ain't getting it... And
what does it mean, ain't getting it? What is that?
It ain't making it.
Okay.
Then you do have to go to these solutions.
All right, 877-876-7445, Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, on why Botox at beauty pageants for eight-year-old children may be necessary, because that child needs to be competitive and even win in that beauty pageant in order for the mother to realize some psychological healing having to do with her youth. Nonetheless, Ms. Dooley is with us talking about the fact that some children are saddled with what she calls the genetic problem or the genetic challenge of not having the most beautiful face in the world. So you do need to inject Botox. Otherwise, Mr. Dooley said whatever that...
He said ain't making it. He misspoke.
Her face ain't making it.
Right.
877-876-7445. Well, I don't even know. I can't even imagine any woman that puts a child into a beauty pageant that would agree with what she just said. 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, Botox injections for eight-year-olds is necessary. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, I just noticed our Phil TV in HD, we have a camera angle that sort of shoots the our studio from the side, but I always seem to have there our coffee, bud, from Starbucks.
Yeah, that's the green.
And the green sleeve always is being blasted out by the green screen, but today we have just regular sleeves on our Starbucks coffee. So in any event, it's no big deal. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us. Pardon me, guys, for making light a little bit here, because what we're talking about, I think, is deadly serious. And Ms. Dooley, I want to give you every opportunity here. Obviously, I don't agree with you to say that 8-year-old children being injected with Botox is somehow the addressing of a genetic challenge that is necessary for the healing of an adult. And that's the part that, more than anything else, I don't get.
It is a cyclical thing.
But Henry, it goes generation to generation.
Now, Mr. Dooley, I'd like to speak to your wife, please, just, you know, one-on-one, because I can barely hear you.
Still, it is a cyclical thing, and as Steve did say, it is generation to generation. If you marry a handsome man, if you marry into what you felt were good genes, and your daughter is born, and you've got work to do. You've got work to do.
Yeah, her face is not making it.
That's the line that I don't like. Her face ain't making it.
We're speaking in terms of a beauty pageant. And
well, I don't know what kind of language that is, but to put Botox into that child's face that, quote, ain't making it, is to, don't you think that that's exposing that child to a medical procedure that's best left, first of all, to a doctor, and secondly, until they're 18? 877-876-7445. David in Fresno, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just wanted to say that my wife and I have had the special privilege of raising five daughters, aging from 29 to 13. None of them have ever won a beauty contest, but all of them are beautiful in our point of view. Would never think of harming any of them sticking something in their face like that. I just want to say, dear, I think we need to send a straitjacket after you and your husband, and that's all I got to say about it. That you're totally ridiculous. Bye.
Well, oh, okay. Well, I'll comment. I guess he doesn't have the courage to talk to a woman, does he?
No, I think the gentleman has got five daughters, and that's all he wanted to say.
Well, I think that is the attitude, Phil, of a man who has five daughters that probably, and I say this with a great deal of respect.
Well, don't start knocking the man's daughter's looks. What are you going to say, they couldn't make it in a beauty pageant?
Well, I think that stands to reason. I think that's why he said what he said. Because out of five for five,
5 for 5 is not good, Mr. I'm not making it.
5 for 5 in the beauty pageant world is a disaster. It is a disaster.
And what does 5 for 5 mean?
It means you have 5 daughters and not a one of them.
Not one of them can get again up to that level.
Well, this lady is got one daughter, and she's having to put Botox into that child's face. 877-876-7445. Dan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
You know, I think this is just child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you're putting your kids through things that they should never go through for no reason, so that you can feel better about yourself.
That's my point. That's my point.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you mean that's your point?
My point was that you're putting the child through this so that she can win a beauty pageant, so that you can feel better about some rejection that your father, that you experienced at the hands of your father.
We are trying to break the cycle, Phil. If I can get my child, my niece, not my daughter, if I can get her face to the point where it is pageant, it's at the pageant level, she wins, she doesn't experience the rejection.
Does that make you love her less? If your daughter does not win a pageant, does that make you love her less?
It makes her father, it gives an issue with the father. That's what I'm talking about.
You just heard that man say, not this gentleman, the other gentleman, 5 daughters.
Well, that's all very courageous of him to say on a talk radio program. I would love to see in action whether those daughters get their father's love or whether he's rejected them all.
Hold on in Akron. Hold on, and we'll be right back here. 877-876-7445. Pageant quality.
That was 5 for 5.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. These stories, I think they probably grab most people the way they grab me and you. When we hear of these beauty pageants for children, probably this stuff became so distasteful following the JonBenet Ramsey tragedy.
You know, I want to comment on that, Phil, because I think we have been given such a bad name because of the JonBenet Ramsey situation.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I'm, just talking to my audience here. Just regular folks, I don't know anything about this world of pageants. I don't particularly like what I see. I'm not, running around asking for laws to ban it. I'm not that kind of an activist jackass. But I will tell you, when it comes to children, I think we all should be a little bit more vigilant. The sacrosanct world of parents, it's very, very important. You know, we are radio for patriots by patriots, but when you're sticking needles into a kid's face, and for the reasons that you give...
We talk about genetic challenge. We talk about generational mutation. We talk about the love of the father. We talk about whether the face makes it or not. Is it pageant face? We talk about Village of the Damned Eyes. We talk about these things because we are trying to educate people. And
now, you're talking about Village of the Damned Eyes. Tell me, you have a list here. We got Dan, who's been hanging on, and I want to get Dan back up on the line. He hung on through the break. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to ask Bobby here. Now, you have a list of things that, and I think this is pretty outrageous.
Well, Phil, if you're going to gang up on me with the caller...
I just want you to give this list of things that you find this is not optimum in the child pageant world. You mentioned Brooke Shields' hair.
It's too thick. You can't have that kind of wild, bushy hair. The chin dimple
is bad.
Yes, it is. In the world of the pageant, yes, it is. For children, yes, it looks masculine. The clown cheeks.
What are clown cheeks?
When
these are children.
A child has too much color in the cheek, not from makeup, but just natural color. It's good to know that your child is healthy. Yes, I understand their children. I know that bit of the answer.
If you're going to have
a three-son
for kids, it should be childlike.
You look like, I have no idea what your wife looks like if you're married. I don't know what your child looks like. So I don't think you've ever had to suffer the way I have. I'm a woman. My father rejected me. I didn't win beauty pageants.
You know what?
See, this is all about you and your father rejecting you, and you didn't win beauty pageants. So now you got to get your daughter, or your niece in this case, into a beauty pageant.
Yes, and if she wins, she does not run the risk that I ran and that my sister ran. She keeps the love of her father, and we break the cycle.
Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with that father. Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with your father.
That would be nice, Phil. He's been dead 5 years.
What an ass.
I did not know your father was dead.
Well, now you do.
Now you do, Mr. Henry.
He died of a heart attack in a parking garage. There wasn't anyone there.
I apologize, Ms. Dooley. I truly do. I truly do. I'm sorry. I did not know.
He died of a heart attack in a...
fell in a parking garage, Mr. Henry. His body was there all night.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
I never could win a beauty.
Ms. Dooley, are you hearing yourself, though? Are you...
Excuse me, you heard what I said about my father.
I heard what you said about your father dying of a heart attack. I am very, very sorry. I'm sorry that he died in such a terrible way, in a lonely, lonely way. I mean, the man was in a parking garage. I understand that. How old was he?
My father was 75.
75. I mean, that's, you know, these days, that's young.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, don't make small talk, Mr. Henry.
These days, well, the nice weather we're having, isn't it?
Ms. Dooley,
You're making, these days? Yep.
Yeah. What are we, on the farm? Yep.
Yeah, it's like you're talking on the farm. Yep, these days, you don't just die those days. Forget it.
You know, I'm having a hard time believing you give a damn about your niece when you're screaming about your father and the way that he died in a parking garage at the age of 75 and you didn't get his love. That's what it's about. It's about you. It's about your sister. It's about all these grown-up women that have their daughters in these beauty pageants because they didn't get the love of their fathers and they want their daughters to win beauty pageants so that somehow they're vindicated. Isn't that true?
Mr. Henry, I am not...
Isn't that true?
I'm not on trial.
Mr. Henry, these are things that are very personal.
Well, then Ms. Dooley's the one that brought it up, not me. 877-876-7445. Here is Craig in Mississippi. Craig, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just can't understand why can't they love their children for who they are.
I do love my niece very much. I love my son very much.
But you're not accepting them for who they are, for their appearance. Are you considering the scarring that will happen to them because of all this Botox and makeup you're doing on them? What that does to them?
That's not going to scar them. The Botox will make their faces, it evens their faces out, it levels them out.
They have a more symmetrical.
We're talking emotionally.
Right.
Not physically, emotionally, because you're not accepting them for who they are. I have two daughters, and they are the most beautiful girls in the whole wide world. And you know what? They don't have to go win a pageant for me to know that. They're beautiful because they are mine.
In other words, they're not that good looking. The way you said that. Just the way you said that.
My mother's gorgeous to me.
You said that to you, that means they really aren't.
Because you know
it
what?
Doesn't
it
make
doesn't
it,
matter
what difference
think.
Does it make?
It doesn't
no,
matter
I'm
what you
saying.
Think, ma'am.
Is that what you're
my
saying?
My mother's beautiful. My daughters are beautiful. And there's no contest in my mind, in my heart.
How about Margaret Thatcher?
What about Margaret Thatcher?
Where did she come from?
I want to know what your level of beauty is. What is your standard?
He loves his daughters because his daughters are beautiful to him because he loves them. The eyes of love.
Exactly.
In other words, they don't have pageant face.
Yeah, are they symmetrical?
What? That is so superficial that your love is based upon an appearance.
No, my love, I love my, you don't understand, I love my niece. We're talking about winning a pageant. Do you understand?
If you
my
love
niece
them,
is genetically challenged.
Don't
touch
them. If you love them, put them up and say, this is my child, this is my niece.
She's going butt
chin.
You don't get butt chin, do you?
Yeah, the butt chin, sir, is a...
Butt chin is what, the dimple in the chin?
Yeah. There's no way you're going to win a pageant with a... You know, excuse me for making a joke out of it, but there's no way you win a pageant if you've got a chin like an ass.
Right.
Okay, and so she doesn't win the pageant, and therefore your sister, the mother of that child, doesn't get she doesn't feel vindicated, and so she still has unresolved feelings about your father, the two of you, and the grandfather of this little girl. And the little girl couldn't give a hoot and a holler.
She still has, we still have Steve's, we have my mother and Steve's parents.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the relationship that you and your sister never had with your father.
Right.
And thank you for belching.
I'm sorry, Phil. I had the TGIF fajitas.
The adults are the ones that need help mm-hmm. in this family, not the child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is not a slam.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an insult.
Mm-hmm.
But
no kidding.
Jews and mm-hmm. the adults need the help, not the child.
Jews? You just said Jews.
The child, I'm sure, is beautiful
if
you'll just accept her.
She's beautiful, but she's
compounding
not symmetrical.
And
I'm trying to tell you she's beautiful, but she is off.
Her face ain't making it.
You know, when you say that about a little girl's face, man, somebody ought to smack your face, Mr. Dooley. I'm sorry. A little girl is a pretty little princess, and that's it, you know?
Exactly.
You gonna smack my face?
I would punch your lights out, man, if you said that in front of me. I've had about enough of all I can take of listening to you people talking about children as if they got faces made of Play-Doh, and you can push a chin in here and pull a face out there and do whatever you want to do with a child's face so that you feel better, so that you win she wins the pageant, so your relationship with your father is vindicated. Bizarre. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. Let's go over here now to Christine. Hi, Christine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Nice speech.
I'm good, thank you. I wasn't given a
Yay.
Speech.
No, that was a speech.
No, it was not a speech. It was my honest feeling.
Good speech, Mr. Hendry.
Well, if I may inject here, mm-hmm. I don't think mm-hmm. you're really breaking the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
you're continuing this cycle by
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
accepting the child
mm-hmm.
and let her be who she
mm-hmm.
is and look what way she
mm-hmm.
she does and love
mm-hmm.
her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing
mm-hmm.
is that these
mm-hmm.
issues are more about y'all
mm-hmm.
issues
mm-hmm.
rather than the child, like Phil said.
What do you mean y'all?
You know, it's...
I didn't hear...
Hold on. Will you let the lady finish?
She said y'all. I don't know what you mean y'all.
Your issues, you and your husband and your sister.
Oh.
Y'all are the ones with the issue that needs to be resolved. That's the
mm-hmm.
only way you'll break the cycle. You're not going to
mm-hmm.
break the cycle like this. This
you're
is
break
not
the, cycle.
The way to break the cycle.
Look, it's a genetic.
This
and
is all superficial. You'd like to put a
Band-Aid
on
mm-hmm.
it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, first of all, I love her. She's my niece. My sister's name is Christine, by the way, and so I feel like I can talk to you about this. My niece, Megan, is beautiful to me. But her
have you ever been in psychotherapy or any kind of therapy for yourself?
Have I had what kind of therapy?
Any kind of therapy for yourself?
What kind of therapy? Physical therapy? When I blew my knee out when we were playing tennis?
No, I'm talking about therapy with a therapist that you talk things out with.
Oh, my God.
No? You've
oh
never done that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
She's asking about going to psychotherapy. What's the big deal?
Oh, my God. Do you think I'm insane? Is that it?
Everybody goes to some kind of therapy.
No, I don't think you're insane.
I think
you've got
some
problems.
Do you think I'm insane? Do you think I'm insane? That's my question.
No. Nobody thinks you're insane. People go
no.
to head shrinkers.
You are,
right.
Have I been to a psychiatrist?
Not everybody's crazy to go.
Have I been to a psychiatrist? Is that what you're asking?
Have you been to a counselor?
Oh, my God. You think she's Sybil?
Why is that such an odd question?
Why do you think she's Sybil?
Nobody says she's Sybil.
You think it's the three faces of Eve? Do you think I belong in the snake pit? Do you think I belong in Shock Corridor? Do you think I'm that woman from Shock Corridor? Do you remember that movie? The nymphomaniac that attacked Peter Breck? You don't remember that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was the movie Shock Corridor, based on a true story. A newspaper writer...
Oh, will you get out of here with Shock Corridor?
I don't want to get into that concept.
I'm saying,
that's not that important.
Christine, what Christine's saying is very important here. Your issues with your father are deserving of being discussed with a psychologist.
When I can solve those problems by giving myself something and my sister something that we never had, which is a pure pageant win, blue ribbon.
Blue ribbon win, Mr. Henry.
A blue ribbon. That's the gold medal.
I'm going to pray for you
Oh, my God. You're praying for me, which is the same thing as saying... You know what that means? That means that's the same thing as saying... Excuse my language. It's the same thing as saying F you. It's the same thing as saying F you.
What is?
Saying I'm going to pray for you.
No, it isn't. And Christine, you're very sweet. Thank you for your call. 877-876-7445. That lady was being, I think, very nice to you.
She said I needed a psychiatrist, Mr. Henry. Now, if you ever saw a Straitjacket with Joan Crawford...
Oh, come on, will you? Nobody is saying that you need to go into the snake pit or Bedlam or Shock Corridor. No one is saying that you're some nymphomaniac crawling all over Peter Breck. Wow. Wow. Have you ever been to a therapist? Oh, what do you think? This is Bedlam? The snake pit? We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. It's unbelievable. And if we weren't talking about a child, a little 8-year-old girl having her face injected with Botox, which is just disgusting, it would be a lot funnier than it is. 877-876-7445. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I'm doing, but...
Wrinkles?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to play the thing.
I see, like, wrinkles and,
God.
It just, like...
I don't know.
I just, like, don't, like...
That is the little, that's the little 8-year-old girl, though, that we're talking about. That's the child who says, well, I don't like wrinkles. What child could actually make that kind of a call? What child could make a decision like that, Ms. Dooley? You're defending the use of this Botox for children, and I'm wondering, how does any mother, any responsible mother, let the child make the call?
So I don't say, unless you're in the world of, there's a lot of pressure on those children. They want to do their best. They know that if they win the pageant, that their mothers and their grandfathers are able to reconcile.
And you're telling me the kid knows that?
I think instinctively, yes. I really do. You know, Phil, it's interesting you talking about me and my perception, agreeing with that caller that perhaps I needed therapy. I heard you say during the break, talking to Mr. Rance, that in the film Mommy Dearest, the daughter was played by Diane Lane, not Diana Skerwitz. Diane Lane, at the time, would have been about 60 with a big, fat rear end.
Boy, that's what Mr. Brennan. We need a psychiatrist?
I got the name wrong.
We need a psychiatrist, Doc.
And I need a psychiatrist?
That's not needing a psychiatrist. That's getting the name wrong on an actress. It was Skerwitz. 877-876-7445. Here is Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Mary. I'm sorry. Hi to both of you. I just have a question.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Respectfully to you, why do you feel like every single child has to be a pageant winner?
Well, I don't know that every single child can be a pageant winner. Obviously they can't. Should every single child be in a pageant? I think there is a case to be made for that, because when you look at, Mary, your relationship with your father, and...
I don't know what this has to do with any pageant.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Mary. Are you there, Mary?
Yes.
I think that when you and I look at the relationships we had with our fathers, we need to repair those. The best way to do it is to win a beauty pageant. We didn't, did we? You didn't, I didn't. But we do have a chance with our daughters or our nieces.
Why do you feel like that's the best way to rebuild that relationship? Why can't my father be proud of me because I'm a good citizen, because I'm a foster parent, because I take in stray animals, because I'm a, you know, there's so many, because I volunteer at the homeless shelter, because I am a dentist, because I mean, there's so many. I don't understand why that is the only way
you feel like. It would be great. It would be great if he did, but he doesn't. He doesn't respect you for those things, just as my father doesn't. So what else is left to us?
Why do you think, though, that my father does respect me for what I do, and I'm not 6 foot tall, and I don't have long blonde hair, and I don't have blonde, and I'm not a model, and I'm not winning pageants, but you know what? I sleep at night knowing that my father loves me.
Okay, all the things you just said there, you're not 6 feet tall, you don't have blue eyes, you don't win pageants. Well, then, obviously, you've got a problem with him.
Why?
What?
Because of all the things she just said. Didn't you just say that you're not...
She's just said that her father doesn't care whether she's 6 feet tall or blonde.
My father accepts me as a child. As a child who was created in the image of God. I mean, I don't know. When God creates something, I don't know that we need to, like, mess with it superficially.
I don't either. I just wish that our fathers loved us more so that we don't have to put our children through this, so that the genetic problem can be solved with a capital G and a capital P. The genetic problem.
What genetic problem is that?
The kid's face isn't making it.
We can't be cookie-cutter people. We cannot be cookie-cutter people. Not everyone can be, you know, with no wrinkles and no dimple in their chin. And
But we can try. We can try. And
no,
so
we don't have to try.
Why would we want to try? Why would we all
So we don't scare people. So that we get the love of our father and we don't scare people. Yes, we don't. You got bigger problems.
Phil,
you have bigger problems than that.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
Shut up.
Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and that means we are here for you, and we're here to do just one thing. That is lockstep, join hands, and walk right over top of all the meatheads and the idiots that have attempted to make this country such an insufferable place to live in. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, and this hour we're going to talk with Art Griego about the wedding season. And has the struggling economy affected the wedding industry? It's a wedding season, and photographer Art Griego, who's also done some work as a private pilot, I think we can probably take that off the screen now, bud.
That is pretty interesting.
We're showing a picture that was done of me by an artist named Kanatha Grisvard and Amanda Green. Both of them do these little art pieces. And they send them to me, and they look really strange.
That one looks just like you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Anyway, so welcome back, folks. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. That means you can go over to our website and get a backstage pass and watch the show as well as listen to it. Phil TV in HD. We got it all going on here with high-definition video. And just a beautiful picture right now. I'm sitting in front of the El Pacifico, which is where our broadcast studios are located here in the land of the fog and the sea lions. Now, get yourself a backstage pass and you'll figure it all out. Don't worry about it. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. So, as we mentioned, we're in a down economy, and don't we all know it? Especially those of us who own businesses or who have recently started businesses. Those of us who are in the midst of perhaps trying to expand a business. Art Griego is with us. And Art, you started out as where are you, in Santa Monica?
Phil, I'm at the Santa Monica airport right now. It's kind of busy. I'm in the restaurant right now.
And you started out as a commercial pilot. You went into the business of private charters. And now you're doing photography. You're kind of a renaissance man.
Well, I've been doing photography all of my life, and it was only in the last, I'd say, year that I decided to get into the business of photography for as a commercial enterprise, Phil. So that's when my wife gave me the idea of Wedding Portraits by Art.
And it's called Wedding Portraits by Art?
That's my business. And we will go to weddings and take photographs, not only of obviously the bride and the groom, but of the extended family and the wedding receptions and so forth. And
how is business? So we were talking about the business, the economy being down.
Well, business is very rough. Business is very rough. You have to, in my line of work, at least the way I see it, the best thing you can do is to take a series of photographs at a wedding and hope that one or two of them is noticed by one of the big wedding magazines, and you get the photograph published in Bridal Magazine or Wedding Magazine or one of these. So I am constantly on the lookout for photographs for jobs, really, where that's going to happen. And you get hired to do a wedding shoot. You show up, and you have an opportunity to do some wedding. You know, I just saw in the paper today, Phil, Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, was it in the paper?
It was in one of the later editions, or maybe I saw it on a website.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner's wedding to Crystal Harris is called off. I haven't had time to look into that. We will cover that in our next hour, but suffice it to say, that would have been a great job, huh?
Oh, it would have been a fantastic job to have. She's a very, very beautiful woman, and Mr. Hefner has a beautiful, without question, a beautiful home. They're the Playboy Mansion where he lives, so that's the kind of a dream job that you would like to have, and unfortunately, that one. I don't know who had that job, but
he's out the job too. So everybody, all the caterers, think of that.
Oh yeah, but it can be a lucrative business. But these days, it's been tougher because I'll show up for a job. I think I have the job in hand, and I show up and I look at the couple, and immediately you sort of feel your shoulders slump a little bit, and the only thing you can do is start to put the equipment back in the bag. And
what do you mean? You look at the couple? You'll show up?
You'll show up and you'll see the couple. And if you put together what I'm telling you right now, with what I said to you a few minutes ago about being able to get a picture into Bridal Shower magazine, being able to get a picture into Modern Bride, if I show up and I see the couple and the bride is going to be not acceptable, you can go ahead and do the job if you want. I choose not to.
When you say that the bride's not acceptable, you're talking about to have a published picture?
Yeah. And just to, the first thing you want is a really beautiful set of pictures.
But isn't that up to the couple?
Well, it's up to the couple, Phil.
Isn't that the I want some beautiful pictures for my wedding. You know, I don't know what the bride or the groom or whoever would say to you, you know.
Well, they want you to come and take the standard array of photographs for their wedding, having to do with the ceremony, having to do the formal portrait, having to do the family portraits. There are a series of them that you have pictures taken of the groom and his groomsmen, the bride and her bridesmaids, so on and so forth.
Right, right, right. So you're there to take these pictures.
I'm there to take the pictures, yes. But the problem that we run into in the wedding photograph business is that you show up and you immediately realize there's no way that you're going to make any money, any real money on this job.
And the real money is your being able to sell one of these photographs to a big magazine?
Yeah.
What if the couple doesn't want you to do that?
Well, I mean, generally, it's pretty lucrative. And you'll say it's a limited rights thing. So you can say to the couple, if I'm able to sell one of these photographs or two of them to one of the bridal magazines, you'll get a piece of the fee. And it's a limited use thing.
So they only use it for a certain amount of time.
Right. But if I show up and I see the situation has gone bad. And
you're using a little bit of code here, man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm trying to as professionally as I can.
Well, when you say you show up and the situation's gone bad.
See, it's gone south or it's gone sour. It's like if food goes bad. A wedding shoot will go bad. The same way food goes bad. The way, I shouldn't say this, but I heard in the Casey Anthony trial, you were mentioning they said the smell of a...
Yeah, a decomposing body.
Right. Well, I can tell you right now, a wedding photography job can get as... It'll go as bad as something that smells like that.
And well, I don't know what you... Meaning what, Art? You're not making enough money?
You're not going to make any money. And so if I get a call... And they book me, and they say, we would like to book you.
Well, don't you meet these people ahead of time?
Not always. They've seen my work. They call me up. They ask me to come down.
So you don't meet them ahead of time?
No.
So they call you up, and they book you. You're not signing any contract.
No, they just say, would you please? Yes, I will. Where is it going to be? It's going to be at the Riviera Country Club. It's going to be at Rancho Park. In other words, when they mention it's going to be at some high-end place...
Then you're more likely to want to take the job?
No, absolutely. And then you show up, and everything has just rotted away from the... It smells like that car.
And all right, I don't understand. I don't think that's a very apropos comparison. I don't want to use that. But you're saying...
What I'm saying is the job went bad.
Because the bride is what?
The bride is... too big. She's not going to be lovely enough to get me any kind of. Believe me, Phil, when I tell you, every bride is beautiful. Every bride is beautiful.
And well, if every bride were beautiful, Art, you would be, taking these jobs.
Well, I take the job if I need the job, but it's not. Every bride is beautiful, but not every bride is beautiful enough to. For wedding portraits by Art.
And because you're not going to make any money selling or leasing the rights of that photograph.
That is correct, because she's not the slender, Look, I can tell you this, Phil, the Crystal Harris Hugh Hefner wedding was the event of the season. Why? Because she is, in the parlance of the street, not the way I talk, not the way you talk, but the way someone who lives in the gutter would talk. But let's just be clear in that she's a piece of ass. Okay.
All right. Well, if we're not talking like we live in the street, let's not do it then.
No, I was using their terminology.
And let's use terminology that a couple of educated men would use.
All right.
She's a beautiful woman.
She's a beautiful woman. Absolutely. And forgive me, Phil, but I wanted to, that doesn't hit home as much.
And to me, it does. It's perfectly fine. So you have a beautiful woman, and this is a job that you want to do. I have to tell you, you want to go to weddings, and then you see that the bride is too large or too fat or whatever you call it.
I did not use that word.
Okay. You turn around and leave?
You have to.
And what happens to these people who had an understanding that you were going to photograph their wedding?
The understanding is, and that's why I'm on your show tonight, I want people to understand that you're not going to take pictures of a wedding when the bride is that size.
And what size are we talking about?
We're talking about a size that she's going to take up. I don't know what do you mean?
When a bride is that size, you don't want to take the picture, the wedding pictures. What size are we talking about?
We're talking about a woman big enough to fill up. If you're talking about an 8x10, let's say, she's going to fill most of one half of it.
I don't know what that means.
It's you can take a look.
If you take an 8x10 and...
All right, I'm going to do this on camera. In fact, people can see at home. Here's a sheet of paper. Bud, how many inches?
Hold on. How many inches is what?
The paper.
Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Let's just say this is an 8x10. One half of this fully?
The entire half. But it would vary, of course, because I don't think that's a real 8x10. But if she's big enough to dwarf things around her, or if it's just a case that there are other problems, such as the, the teeth. I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go with this.
Well, in other words, if she's ugly?
I don't want to use that word.
Well, that's where you're going. She's fat and ugly.
No, Phil, I would rather not say. I'm just simply saying, you asked me how is business.
Yeah, it sounds to me like business is pretty good and you're turning jobs down. You know?
No, I am not.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are. You're going out to a job that you have been hired to do. You see that the bride is either too big or her teeth are bad or something. So you said to me that your shoulders slump, you feel bummed out, you put the stuff back in the bag, and you split.
I have no choice at that point.
Well, it doesn't sound to me like business is bad. Hold on for just a minute here, Art. We have to take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is a man who, Art Griego, who does wedding photographs, but turns down jobs if the bride is too large or if she's got bad teeth or something because he can't lease these photos to big magazines. And I don't know if any of you ever had an experience where a photographer showed up and then turned around and left. But that's what he's done on a couple of jobs. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we're in an economy, and he's turning jobs down because the bride's too big. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, Lloyd, excuse me, we talked a little, we have Art Griego with us. Mr. Griego is a wedding photographer. We've talked to Art in the past about aviation issues also, but you have been doing this for the last year, Wedding Portraits by Art. And you're saying that you're struggling.
Well, business has been really bad. If it doesn't pick up, like everything else, we certainly would be looking towards some sort of a helping hand from our government, like any business would want. But we are I'm in big trouble, and every business is. I understand that.
But you're turning business down.
No, I'm not. I'm not turning business down. I don't understand when you say turning business down. I can't use it. I go to a job that's gone bad. I go to a job that has gone bad, like a bad, exposed meat in a refrigerator.
And how is a job, when you say you go to a job and it's gone bad?
Yes.
You're saying that you go to a job and you see a bride.
I can't do it. I can't make any money with that. She's that size.
But you could still take the gig and take the photographs, right?
It's not any kind of real money. The real money, the real home run money, is being able to lease some of these photographs. I can't do it, Phil. I'm telling you, I would love to be able to do it, but I can't do it when you look at a bride that looks like that. And some of these weddings are a little rural, and the teeth, if you're taking a picture and the teeth are not symmetrical, the light catches a tooth, and it literally can blind you to death. It'll blind your eyes. It'll burn the eyes right out of your skull if the light catches a tooth that is sticking out. So...
I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. I don't know anything about photography. I've never heard of a guy turning down jobs.
I'm not turning down jobs. They're going rotten on me. They're hostile to the economy.
Well, you have not made the case, though, Art, that the jobs are, quote, going rotten on you. All you're saying is you can't take pictures of a bride who's too big. 877-876-PHIL. John in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
This guy is a wacko. go. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you know how much it costs to get wedding pictures at a wedding? Thousands of dollars.
That's exactly right.
Hours,
exactly right.
Thousands.
No,
how much do you get wedding pictures cost? This guy is a wacko.
I don't make thousands. I don't make thousands. The problem is you're going to make. First of all, are you a photographer?
No, I'm not a photographer. I have friends.
Well, you don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about it.
Come on,
I'm a guy.
Photographers. I have friends. And I just did a
you have friends.
As a DJ. You're a wacko, man. You can go out there. You've got a lucrative business. Be an American. Get out there and work. Here it is.
No, I don't have a lucrative business. I don't have a lucrative business when I show up and she's the size of a house.
You bet. Man, I wish if I had the skills and I had a camera, I'd go out to...
Exactly. You wish. You wish you had the skills. You wish you had the skills. Good point. You don't. I do.
Why don't you use your skills?
I am. I'm telling you something about the business that you don't know. You think you know the business. You don't.
Hey.
No. You don't know anything about my business.
To get pictures. It takes thousands of dollars to get pictures.
Let me ask you. How do you know all of this? How many times have you been married? What are you talking? Where are you getting this information?
I have a friend that's a wedding photographer. I have a friend.
You have a friend.
He gets $1,000.
Well, he said that.
Wedding as a DJ to do wedding pictures. You're talking about a couple of $1,000s. And some of these guys do two weddings in a weekend.
You can do.
I don't know what you're talking
about. You can do. Mr. Henry, I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
You can do $2,000 if you get the job. If you show up and she's too big, you can't do the job.
No. Nobody's firing. No one's firing you from the job, right?
No. What do you mean no one's firing me from the job?
You go there. You got the job. You can do the job.
You can't.
You don't take
you can't do.
That's not
you
good business.
How am I supposed
sure
to do it when she's that big?
Man, I think you need to go to business school.
No, you need to go to photographer school so you know what my business is about. I'm not trying to tell you your business, whatever it is. I will tell you that when you show up and she's the size of what, you know, use your imagination. No way.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That man, in my opinion, was, I agree with him. He was almost apoplectic. He couldn't believe what he was hearing.
Well, you know, that he can be as apoplectic. He's got a friend who's a DJ at a wedding. He's got a friend who's a wedding photographer. Well, here's a guy that's really upwardly mobile. You know,
well, he's talking about a couple of people that he knows that make all this money.
Well, you can't make that kind of money.
Yes, if you turn around and you walk off of a wedding because the bride is too large, as you put it.
All right, you want me to be, I'll be great. She's fat. Fat and ugly. And
well, that's pretty cruel and crude for a guy who's supposed to work with people for a living. A man who is supposed to make a beautiful day even more beautiful, a guy who is supposed to present to the happy couple portraits of themselves and their families in a happy moment. She's too fat and ugly, you say, so you turn around and you walk out on the job.
You have not given me the opportunity here, Phil, to explain to you and to your audience just exactly how important it is that they drop a few pounds before I can do anything with the picture. Otherwise, they're going to look at me when I walk into Bridal Shower magazine or Modern Bride, and they're going to say, oh, here he comes. It's Griego again with more of these beasts.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877, here it's Griego again. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Talking about...
Phil Henry. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. We have with us Art Griego from Portraits by Art as we talk about the wedding season, June. You've had jobs that you have walked out on because you say they are hostile to your economics. And I want you to define that. Other than saying you show up, Art, and the bride is too large, or she doesn't have the right figure, or something.
Phil, that's it in a nutshell. I'm not here to judge any human being or to say that someone is not beautiful or what have you, but I know what my business requires. If I show up for a job to take pictures, a wedding portrait, and the two people that I'm looking at, you know, you want to just you feel the disappointment. That's all I'm saying. You feel like you've been kicked in the gut when you turn the corner and you look at the I forget what it's called where they stand under it.
You're a photographer and you don't know the names of these things?
No, I don't. It's I call it the archway.
I mean, I don't either, but I would think you'd know this.
You don't either, but you're telling me. I mean, I would just point this out, Mr. Henry. What the arch thing is for weddings, not everybody knows.
Yeah? I would think that a wedding photographer would. So you turn the corner.
And what?
You say you turn the corner.
Well, I just turn the corner and I see some, you know, and then I take that picture to Bridal Magazine. And I have been more than one time had a receptionist at Modern Bride saying, here comes Art and his petting zoo. Here comes Art. And
you're telling me that's what they're calling these brides?
The ones that when they're bat size, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking about bridal pictures. And why some of them he can't take. Here is Paul in Lafayette, Louisiana. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to know how he gets work. If this is genuinely his name, and my mom's a professional wedding photographer, you're putting your name out there on a national photographer to show up and shoot the wedding regardless of their of what they look like. I don't understand how you get work.
I just have to ask you, Paul, to watch your language a little bit there. Art, go ahead. That's all right.
Yeah, well, the gentleman just said, what do you want me to say?
I think you should answer his question.
Well, his question was, how do I get? I get a lot of work. Because people want.
Oh, sorry.
Well, they want to have their pictures taken. And
okay.
So I show up. And what have they done to me? See, I'm giving them my job. I'm coming with my cameras. I'm coming with my lights. I'm coming with all of the stuff that I got, my assistant. And your mother does the work, so you know. And what are they giving me? They're giving me a bride that looks... They're giving me a bride with the big, you know, shoulders
Shoulders.
It just sounds... It sounds like you're in the wrong business because the day...
No, I'm in the right business.
Well, the day that my mom walks off a wedding is the last day she shoots a wedding because, you know, with this day and age of technology and how fast your name travels with Yelp and everything, why would anyone go to Art when he's just, you know, depending on how you look, he's going to determine whether he's going to pole vault himself into a weddings magazine.
Well, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question. When your mother takes a picture, does she try to get these sold to, does she try to sell pictures to Modern Bride and to big magazines? I'm sure she does.
Yes, of course. Naturally, yes, but other than that, she does it to capture special moments in people's lives. She doesn't do it to capitalize on...
Let's talk turkey here for a minute. Yeah, let's talk turkey here for a minute. Your name's Paul. Paul, you sound like a good guy, and I know you love your mother, but let's talk business for a second.
All right.
No, you know, I'm very happy to go and capture a happy moment, blah, blah, blah. That's great. I'm here to make myself a nice dollar. I want to make a beautiful dollar, okay? Now, I turn the corner, and there is a bride with the big, I can only say the big shoulders. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
What are you talking about?
The big woman.
Okay.
I can't do it. I have a physical inability.
Is that
you understand what I'm saying, Paul?
Depending on how you look, that determines whether you're going to shoot them. Like, I just couldn't see the
name. That's a very good point.
You know what? I got to go.
You have to. I don't know how your mother does it. She's going to show up, and she turns the corner, and there's a woman there who's got that big, thick neck.
She finds the beauty of every individual.
That's what you do with the picture. All right, Paul, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Dave. Go ahead, Dave. That's what a photographer is.
Phil, I don't need him to tell me what a photographer is. I know what a photographer is.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think that man from Arch, he ought to be put out of business. I mean, people like him, look at Karen Carpenter. I don't know if you're old enough to remember her, but she died because of people like him.
Who are you talking about?
Karen Carpenter had anorexia.
Because people judgmental on their weight, on their size, on everything. And he is being very judgmental on their appearance. If he wants to be bossy, that's what he needs to do.
Right.
What is that?
If you want to photograph
good-looking people, then go out and photograph good-looking people.
I do wedding photographs.
I
went and started a business. I had cards made. I have a sign in the door, wedding portraits by art. Now, you want me to go ahead and set fire to all of that figuratively and go out in the street someplace with a bunch of other sweating idiots? No, not me.
Well, what do you think you are? You're being judgmental to every woman that's walking the face of the earth, that their most beautiful day in the world is the day they get married. And what difference does it make whether she's a size 1 or a size 21?
The difference is,
you're hired to take the pictures, and I'll tell you what, if I hired someone to take pictures of my daughter's wedding and they walked out, I'd be their worst nightmare. Because you
recognize my right that if I were to take pictures at your daughter's wedding and I turn the corner and she's got all that thickness, you recognize my right to leave, don't you?
The thickness? What are you talking?
You don't contract the hire to do a job and base it just on someone's appearance. I'll tell you what.
Hold on for just a second, Dave.
When you leave this world and go to the other side, we're all rubble at the foot of the cross. And when the
I don't play that, okay? Yeah, that's fine, sir, and I'm sure you're right.
I hope you go out of business.
I'm sure you're right, sir. I'm sure that you're right that I'll burn in hell. But before I do, we're on my time.
I can't judge.
We're on my time. You know, as Jason Patrick said in that great movie, I forget what, Your Friends and Neighbors, he said, you know, if it turns out that this God thing is real, then I'll have to deal with it. Until then, we're on my time. All right?
Yeah.
What do you mean, whatever? What, you're the guy that's saying whatever.
No, I thought you did.
No, you did. You said whatever.
Well, I'm just trying to tell this guy that I'm here to make a living, not to take pictures of wildlife.
Boy, you know something? I can only repeat what the other chap said. And, Dave, thank you very much for your call. You know.
Well, sir, I have to tell you, I'm the piece of work. Why is it that I have to take pictures of these big women, and I can't sell any to Modern Bride magazine, and I'm eating out of a can? Every night, I'm opening a can up and eating out of it.
Why do you eat out of a can?
Because it reminds me I want to eat out of a can until I make some real good money.
Well, I don't know what that means. Thank you very much, Dave, for your call. 877.
You don't know what it means.
877-876-PHIL. I'm talking here with Art Griego.
No, I want to know. What do you mean you don't know what it means?
I don't know. What does that mean, you're eating out of a can?
I eat out of cans until such time as I sell a job to Modern Bride, and then I'll sit down with a plate and silverware and a napkin.
And why are you eating out of the can?
Because I'm poor.
Are you telling me that you don't have silverware?
You don't understand. Yes, I've got silverware, and yes, I've got plates. But I'm not, you can't talk, the economy's bad, and I don't even want to think about eating. I'm depressed, and I'm eating out of a can.
Why don't you eat off of plates and use silverware and the napkins that you say you own?
Mr. Henry, you're harassing me.
No, I'm asking you. You said you eat out of a can.
I do. Every night I open a can up and I eat over a sink. How does that... Do you do that?
No, I don't.
Well, of course you don't, because you make good money.
Well, are you starving to get to death?
Am I what?
Are you starving to death?
I'm eating out of a can.
Well, what you're telling me is this. You're eating out of a can so you can get sympathy where you could actually afford to eat off of plates, and you don't.
I have not referenced that at all.
All right, well, I don't even want to talk about that because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. The stupidest thing that I've ever heard in my life. We're going to continue, though, talking about your business, why you're turning down business. And
well, this other gentleman who was talking to me about me going to hell, now, that's a new low on any radio program that I've been on.
Well, we're not going to talk about that. The only thing that we need to discuss here is this idea that the women that you photograph, if they're too large, you get this reputation at bridal magazines that here comes Art in his petting zoo. And you're not in the process, you're not in the business of photographing wildlife. And all of these other insults.
I don't want to be insulting, Phil, but when I don't want to be insulting. You're absolutely right. I'm trying to make a living.
You are making a living.
How are you figuring that?
You're eating out of a can just for effect. You said that you got silverware and all of this bullcrap you're giving me, man. You are...
Well, I'm glad you can laugh at another man's misery.
I'm not laughing at anybody's misery. You're not poor. You're eating out of a can.
I'm eating out of a can.
But you could eat off of plates.
I wish you wouldn't continually go down that road.
I'm going down that road because you can afford to eat off of a plate. You can afford to use silverware. You can afford to have napkins. You can afford to probably sit there and, excuse me, make yourself dinner. But you won't do it. You'll eat out of a can until you sell some big job to Modern Bride magazine. Isn't that right?
You know what, Phil? You're not Jose Feliciano. Who's the gentleman that...
Jose Feliciano.
Who's the gentleman that is the lawyer?
Jose Baez.
Jose, you're not Jose Baez telling me that I left some kid in the park or killed... I'm here... You're not going to tell me. I'm not leaving a stink in anyone's car. They're leaving it in mine.
Well, now you're getting emotional.
You're darn right emotional. I'm not getting out of someone's sunbird and leaving the smell of goat in it. They're leaving it in mine.
Because you hired to do the job, and you got there, and she was too fat, and you had to leave. That's their fault. They leave the smell in your car.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Yes.
877-876-PHIL. What do you think about a wedding photographer who shows up, you hire him to photograph your wedding, your reception? He shows up. And you, your husband-to-be, your wife-to-be, whoever, you're not good enough. You don't look good enough. He turns around, and he leaves. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our next hour, of course, is our News and Information Hour, and we have with us Art Griego, who is a wedding photographer. Wedding Portraits by Art has been in business now for the last year. And we're talking about a very unusual business practice here, Art. You're saying that your business is down, the economy is bad, you're struggling like all of the businesses, and yet you're turning business away. And that's the bottom line here.
The bottom line is I'm struggling like any other business, and we are asking for stimulus help from a government that is very happy to give it to large auto industries, happy to give it to every other nonsensical and ridiculous idea. They want to build a bridge to, I heard about a bridge to nowhere. I don't know what that is. Why are we not allowed what we want? I don't know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Marilyn. Marilyn in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yes, Phil. I'm familiar with Mr. Griego. How are you?
I don't know that I remember you, ma'am.
Well, you were hired to photograph my wedding.
Okay.
You remember her?
Well, her.
Hold on. Mr. Hendry, this is Marilyn Donnelly. I am pre-surgical. I present as a woman, but I am a transgender.
I see. Okay.
And I was recently married, and I hired this man.
Mr. Hendry, if I could jump.
Please allow me. I hired this man, and I can tell you, Mr. Hendry, that I... take yoga, that I am at least three times a week in the gym, that I don't weigh a pound over 123 pounds, that I'm tall.
Yeah, why'd you tell him how tall?
Excuse me, I'm tall.
You're okay, so you're still technically male.
I present as a woman.
Okay, you're pre-surgical, you're about to have your surgery?
Yes.
Can I say something here, Phil? I walked into this wedding and, you know.
Well, all right, Marilyn is saying she's not fat.
When you say she.
That when she says she's not fat and she's not big and she doesn't have the thick neck.
Okay. You're right. I turned the corner, and it's always, I always like to turn a corner. I never want to come straight on. I want to turn a corner. And first of all, I had a very hard time finding a corner to turn, and I kept asking, there were people, I said, is there a corner I can turn to see? I don't want to just walk straight in. I finally turn a corner, and I see this big, tall, and I didn't know what it was. How dare you?
What does that mean?
It means 6'3", and he refused to take our picture, so he's a bigot.
No, ma'am, I'm not.
He's a bigot, he's an ignoramus, and I thought you should know.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Thank you very much, Phil. I enjoy your program.
Thank you, Marilyn. 877-876-PHIL.
Are you going to let that stand?
You admitted to going to this wedding, and you admitted to turning around and leaving that wedding. The woman, she presents as a woman. She's about to have her surgery. She's transgender. She wasn't fat. You refused to take the pictures. That's on you. Here is Amber. Amber, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, please.
All right. So you say that you're eating out of a can, but you're the one turning away the work. You've obviously got plenty of weddings booked. Do your job, and you wouldn't have money to eat.
No, it doesn't work like that. You just heard the last lady. I turned the corner, and I got a transgender, I don't know what it is. If I take a
but
picture
of that...
But
what difference does that make? If you're going to be paid for the job, do your job, and then you'll live fine. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to be... I'll be haunted forever by the image of that. That's number one. And number two... I can't take that to Modern Bride and say, here's a, how do you like this, Modern Bride? A transgender 6'3" freak.
Oh, man, are you an ass.
You are absolutely ridiculous. You're disgusting.
You're a real ass.
People. You won't take pictures of transgender people. Who cares? Just do your job. You're a photographer, right? Take the pictures.
Yes, I am. I'm a damn good photographer. I wish there was something I could take a picture of. That's how good I am. I am so good. I wish to God.
If you're so good, you would have already sold something to Modern Bride.
I can't find a hot.
You can't find a hot-looking bride. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I was hoping for the Crystal Harris job.
Oh, you and a million other guys, man! Are you kidding me? You know,
you
Hugh Hefner.
Just
if there's
disgusting,
ma'am. Why am I disgusting when the Crystal Harris job would have put me over the top? And what do you think that thing did? She dumps Hefner, is having an affair with some guy that parks cars.
That's none of your business, man. That's none of your business what happens. They don't have to get married
Especially
to keep you in business.
You're a photographer.
Sorry.
If you would take the pictures, yeah. You would be able to eat fine. This just doesn't make any sense to me.
I can't take
You obviously have work.
I am an artist, Amber, and I'm sure you understand, being an artist, when I turn the corner and I see a woman who has the big, she's got masculine shoulders. All the air goes out of me. All of my dreams.
You know, you sound like a very weak man.
What is that supposed to mean?
You sound like a man that you can't really take life's highs and lows. You just, every little thing is going to screw you up.
Mr. Henry, if you walked into your radio studio every day and there was no microphone, how would you feel?
Don't give me that bull crap, man. This is not equivalent to that. Hey, listen,
no, it's not,
thank you, Amber.
You have a camera. You're choosing not to use it.
But Mr. Henry's choosing not to go buy a new microphone. Oh, forget it. You guys don't understand.
You're an idiot. It's the Phil Henry Show. Our news and comment hour coming up next. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Phil Henry.
I'm eating out of a can. Thanks, Phil.